Thank you, Dwayne. All that I need, thy hand hath provided. That's true, isn't it? Maybe not always all that we want, but certainly all that we need. Let's pray. Most gracious Lord, may you be glorified and uplifted. May we see your word open up to us today in a real and incarnational way. We thank you, we praise you. In Jesus' name, amen. In Matthew, the 25th chapter, verse 23, it says, "Well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful over a little. I will set you over much. Enter into the joy of your master." My subject is well done. Well done. In an interview not long before, a few years before he passed away, Diane Sawyer was interviewing the great preacher Billy Graham. And she asked him, what do you want people to remember about you after you're gone? What do you want people to remember about your legacy? What do you want people to say about you? And Billy Graham thought about it for a minute and he says, "Well, I don't want people to say a bunch of big, nice things about me because I know who I am and I know I don't deserve it." And sometimes what we see up front is not always the same person who struggles behind the scene. And yet Billy Graham was a unique individual. You know, there were never any scandals. He preached to auditoriums packed full of people. I mean, when you think of a good and faithful servant, you think of Billy Graham. But he said, "I don't want anybody to say nice things about me because I don't deserve it." He says, "I only want one person to say one nice thing about me when I'm gone. And that's my Lord. And I want to hear him say, 'Well done, good and faithful servant.'" This verse is taken from the third parable in a series of parables. A series of parables all dealing with the nature of God's coming kingdom. All three of these parables deal with making good use of the time and the resources that God has given us. Because, friends, the reality is time is short. And regardless of how long before Christ comes, and let me tell you, I don't think it's very long. The reality is, and as Dwayne shared in his testimony, we never know how long any of us really have. And so we look at these parables, this third parable dealing with making good use of the resources and the time that God has given us. And he begins the parable, "For it will be like a man going on a journey who called his servants and entrusted to them his property. Now, just in case you didn't know, you are God's property. Amen? Your money is God's property. This building is God's property. Your home ownership, give me a break. God owns your home. In fact, when you look at the Bible paradigm, God's kingdom does not operate on the concept of ownership. God's kingdom operates on the paradigm of stewardship. God has blessed your kids. Really aren't your kids. They're not your property. They're God's property. In fact, Paul even tells us that our body is God's property. Everything of Psalmist says in 24:1, "The earth is the Lord's and everything in it." And because you are God's property, the enemy hates your guts. No wonder you had a rough week this past week. No wonder the first Sabbath back, Dwayne, the enemy tried to take you out. You know, no wonder, man, when momentum really gets going and God is leading and directing, the enemy tries to throw this and hit you with that, and he'll discourage you. He'll try to whisper to you. The devil cannot stand you. The devil cannot stand the fact that we are coming together and worshiping together. John 15:19 reminds us we are God's property. Look, if you belong to the world, it would love you as its own, but you do not belong to the world. Because I have chosen you out of the world, and that is why the world hates you. But you know what, friends, as I study Scripture, the good news is that hell is no match for heaven. The opposition is no match for our salvation. And so since the enemy cannot beat you outright when Christ is living in your life, he's going to try to overwhelm you. He's going to try to discourage you. He's going to try to overwhelm you with the stresses and the pain of life. He's going to hit you with stress and problems and people and pain and painful people. He keeps whispering in your ear, telling us all that we haven't been given to get us to forget what we have been given. We live in a world of want. We always want what we don't have. We always want what we don't have. You see, the enemy wants to do that. He wants us to overvalue what we are not and undervalue what we are. Instead of learning and focusing on what God blessed us with, we're always worried about what God didn't bless us with. God has given everybody here something. Do you know that? Everybody here. So to one, he gave 5 talents. To another, he gave 2 talents. To another one, he gave 1 talent. To each according to his what? Ability. And then he went away. Every person in this room has been given gifts. You know what? Some of us are very gifted in the kitchen. And some of us are not. Some of us are good with people. And some of us are not. Some of us are good singers. And some of us are not. But you know, that doesn't really matter because God gave you something else. If you're not a singer, you might be a preacher. If you're not a preacher, you might be a teacher. If you're not a person of charisma and preaching, maybe you're a person of hospitality. You may not be an upfront person. We need behind the front people who are moving and reaching out and touching people for God. According to 1 Corinthians 12:44-7, it says, there are different kinds of spiritual gifts, but the same Spirit is the source of what? Them all. There are different kinds of service, but we serve the same Lord. God works in different ways through different people, but it's the same God who does the work in all of us. A spiritual gift is given to each of us so that we can bury it in the ground and use it for ourselves. Right here is why God has blessed you. The only reason why God ever blesses any of us. You know, the Bible says God blessed Abraham so that he would be a blessing. God only blesses you with a gift and with a blessing so that you can help someone else. Acts 2:17, it tells us, in the last days, it shall be, God declares, that I will pour out my Spirit on all flesh. On all flesh, your sons, your daughters shall prophesy. Young people are going to serve the Lord. I love seeing Christian out there, you know, dispensing the hand sanitizer, amen? Young people, older people, you know, smart people and not so smart people. Everyone who's got the Holy Ghost has got a gift. If you've received him, you've received something. So the question that I have for the church today is, what are you doing with what God has given you? What are you doing with the Holy Spirit that was poured out on you? With the lungs he put inside of you, with the people he put in your life, with the money he blessed you with? What are you doing with the Holy Spirit deposit that God has given you? A.W. Tozer made this powerful statement. He says, you know what? If you were to remove the Holy Spirit from the church today, 95% of the work would continue as is, because we're not leaning on the Holy Spirit. But if you were to remove the Holy Spirit from the first century church, which what we've been looking at in Acts, all of the work would have stopped immediately. What is the church doing with the Holy Spirit that we have been given? In the parable, it says that the one who had received the five talents went at once and traded with them, and he made five talents more. In verse 17, he who had the two talents made two talents more. But he who had received the one talent, he went and he dug in the ground and he hid his master's money. He hid the blessing that God had given him. He buried what the master had blessed him with. What have you buried? Maybe you've buried your time. Where have you buried your talents? Where have you buried your attention? Where have you buried your energy? Where have you buried your passion? You see, friends, some of us are so covered up with problems, we never ever seem to ever see a solution. You know, have you ever met someone like that? They got a problem for every one of your solutions. They're buried. Some of our schedules are so buried by busyness, we never have any time for what really matters. We always have time for things that we like and love but don't matter, but we don't have time for the things that really matter. Some of us are so buried up in debt, buying stuff we don't need, we can't afford the things we do need. Where have you buried the gifts that God's given you? Maybe you were hurt by the church and you buried it. Maybe your heart was broke and so you buried it. Maybe someone said, you know what, I don't think you would be any good at that, and you listened to them. Friends, never let someone who's only ever sat on the sideline tell you how to play the game. I love it when people who don't come to church tell us how we should be running the church. I love that. They buried their gifts in the ground. People who try to tell you to bury your gift, you see, they buried their gift and they're bitter, and now they're trying to talk you into burying your gift for God. According to the parable, one guy, the one that was given five talents, he made five talents more. The one that was given two talents made two talents more. And yet, but to both of them, check it out, to both of these guys, they got the same prize. Regardless of what they had, the results, they both got the same prize. Well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful over a little. I'm going to set you over much. Enter into the joy of your master. Now check this out. I thought this was really cool. It doesn't say, you know what, since you were faithful over everything, I'm going to set you over much. Did it say that? It doesn't say, you know, you were faithful over many things. It doesn't say you were faithful over some things. It says, look, you have been faithful over a little. NIV says a few things. The next time you make a mistake and the enemy says that you failed and you need to give up, I want you to say, hey, it's probably not the last time I'm going to fail, but I've done a few things right. I've done a few things right. I've been faithful, hallelujah, over a little. You see, the fact that Jesus says, well done, to someone who was only faithful over a little gives big sinners like me a whole lot of hope. Amen? Because we're all big sinners, even if you don't know you are. Friends, why can't we be faithful over the little that we've been given? I mean, think about it. God says, remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days, do whatever you want. But the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord thy God. That's one day. Check it out. I've given you 6 days to do what you want. I'm asking for one day to spend with me. Why can't you be faithful with a little? God said, return 10% of your increase. Man, he let you keep 90% of the money he gave you. Why can't we be faithful with the little? When nominating committee calls, friends, and those calls are coming, hallelujah. When nominating committee calls, instead of continuing another 2-year term, burying your gift in the ground, start being faithful a little. Ask God to make you just a little more faithful than you were last year. I'm talking about being faithful with the little. And you know what else, friends? Nominating committee does not have to call you for you to do something for God. You just being here, you're doing something for God. You just being nice, you're doing something for God. A little bit of faith goes a long way in the hands of God. A little smile goes a long way, amen? Man, I can't stand the news anymore. And it's not because I want to live in the clouds. No, I want reality. But when I can tell that they're just doom and gloom on purpose, my goodness, I mean, I got to skim through and just catch the brief highlights. But let me tell you, good news, a little bit of good news in this world of bad news, man, that's a lot. Being kind, it goes a long way. Just not posting. Some of us, it's not about posting nice stuff. Some of us got to start with the little things first. And that's just not posting the mean stuff. For some of us, it's not that we're not saying it. It's that we're saying it. I'm talking about being faithful just a little bit. Man, just showing up. I know church is only about 45 minutes now and getting up and getting ready and everything like that. And I know that. But guys, just this little bit goes a long way in the week. I promise you. Just taking time to watch one of the sermons, if you're joining us online, just taking the time to watching one of the sermons or spending time in prayer in the morning, let me tell you, if I don't pray first thing in the morning, if I don't do that little step of faith, my day's going to be a wreck. But if I am faithful with a little time of prayer in the morning, God takes that little prayer and he does a whole lot. Amen? Friends, in this day and age, just being willing to be a little inconvenienced, not a lot, a little, goes a long way. You know what? When it comes to ministry, I've found every little bit helps. Every little thing helps because God can take a ripple and he can turn it into a monsoon. Because friends, let's be honest, the harvest is plentiful. The harvest is great. The work is much, but the workers are... I'm going to talk, I don't know if we got any single people here or single people interested in maybe finding someone to marry. I want to tell you, finding someone to marry is easy. Finding some person to say I do is easy, but finding a kind, committed Seventh-day Adventist Christian that is going to be there to support you and is going to stay committed to you, that, my friends, is hard. That is a few. The faithful are few. Married couples, too often, Our kids are seeing the yelling and the fighting is plentiful, and the loving and the kissing is too few. Not too much kissing, that's gross. Mom, Dad, gross. But seriously, even though it was, as a kid, I was just like, ugh. You know, you get to that age, like, still deep down in my heart, seeing my parents showing love for each other meant everything. Just a little bit of something goes a long way. At work, man, criticism is plentiful. Compliments are few. In the church, opinions are plentiful, but workers are few. But hallelujah, the good news of the gospel is the faithful few in God's hands is enough. Hallelujah. Amen. God is so good. Just look at what God can do with a few. If you just have the faith like a grain of a mustard seed, you will say to this mountain, move from here to there, and it will move, and nothing will be impossible for you. That's what God can do with a few. David was the littlest son of Jesse, but look at what this little dude could do for God. He was a giant slayer. In John 6:9, the disciples say, here is a boy with five small. What kind of barley loaves? I'm talking about being faithful with the little. Small barley loaves and two small fish. How far will they go among so many? Lord, the harvest, the work is plentiful, but laborers are few. And I love Jesus' response. Jesus is just like, you know what? Bring them here and I'll show you. Look at what I can do with just a few. Well done, good and faithful servant. You are faithful over a few. Friends, God is not asking you to be perfect, because there hasn't been a perfect person since Jesus. He wants you to strive for his life of victory in your life, for Christ's perfection to work out in your life. But God's not asking you to be perfect. He's asking you to be faithful. I haven't found a perfect Christian yet. I haven't found a perfect pastor yet. I haven't found a perfect church yet. You see, this word for faithful here, it doesn't mean perfect. It means persistent. It means reliable. You don't say, well, since I'll never be perfect, I'll just kind of settle. That is not being faithful. It means continuing to persevere and persistent. It means to be reliable. I shared this the other day, but it's so powerful. God keeps bringing me back to it. The righteous falls seven times, and he rises again. But the wicked stumbles in times of calamity. Friends, the righteous fall and the wicked fall. The only difference is the righteous are the ones who get back up. The only difference between the faithful servant and the fearful, slothful servant was that the fearful, slothful servant gave up. The dude didn't even try. But the faithful don't give up, friends. They get up. I don't care what people think. God didn't give you your gifts to impress people. God gave you gifts to make an impression on a broken world. Man, being a Christian's not a competition. I don't care if I'm the first person in heaven or the last person in heaven. I just want to get to heaven. I don't care who led the most people to Jesus. I just want to make sure that I was faithful enough to lead even just a few to Jesus. You see, for these servants, it wasn't about how much that they had. It was how faithful they were with what they were given. Galatians 6:5 says, for each one should carry their own load. Every one of us. Some of the church folk are getting burned out because they're busy carrying your load. Get your load off of their back. Start carrying your own load. Just be faithful with a little. Romans 4:14-12. See, friends, this is the reality. In the parable, the master goes away, it says, for a long time. But no matter how long it seems, one day, the master is coming back. Romans says, each of us, and on that day, each of us will give an account of ourselves to God. And God, what have you done with the gifts that I've given you? What have you done with the money that I have blessed you with? What have you done with the time that I have given you? What have you done with the people that I've placed in your life? What have you done for your children? What have you done for your spouse? What have you done to help them get into glory? And he who had received one talent came forward, saying, Master, Master, I knew you to be a hard man. See, if we do things because we're afraid of God, it won't last. You see, he has the wrong perspective of his God. I knew to be a hard man, reaping where you did not sow, and gathering where you scattered no seed. So I was, what's the word there? And so I went and I hid your talents in the ground. Here, have what is yours. Friends, the greatest obstacle in the church has always been and will always be fear. Nothing causes people to hide their talents more than fear. We're afraid of what people will think. We're afraid of what people will say. We're afraid that we may not do it perfectly. Perfectionism is one of the worst, insidious, demonic things that has crept into the minds of people. Unless we can do it perfect, we don't want to do it at all. Friends, that is straight from Satan. I'm all about doing things to the best of my ability. But friends, perfectionism keeps you from do it until you can do it perfectly. But guess what, friends? People make mistakes. You make mistakes. I make mistakes. This servant doesn't even try. Everything I've done, you know what? It hasn't always worked. But you know what? At least I know God will never be able to say, I didn't try. I always hear people say, oh, pastor, evangelism doesn't work, and we've done that before, and oh, you know, and instead, what do we want to do? We just want to bury our gifts in the ground. God didn't tell you better have these good results. God just told you to be faithful with what I blessed you with. You see, it didn't matter how much the servant started with, as long as they had more at the end than what they had at the beginning. My first conference president, I'll never forget it. It made an impression on me. He said, Richie, this is my only word of advice for you. Just make sure the church is in better shape when you leave than when you got it. And that has always been my prayer, that the church would be in better shape than the way I got it. You see, it didn't matter how much the servant started with, as long as they had more at the end than what they had in the beginning. My prayer for this church and every church in my life has always just been, Lord, may we end up with more than what we started with. Those who heard, well done, good and faithful servant, were not only faithful, friends, the Bible says they were good. Now, before you assume what good means here, it's not really the type of good where we think of, you know, good people versus bad people. You see, you can't separate people into the good guys and the bad guys. You know why? Everybody has sin in their heart. So no one is good. You see, for years I thought being good to being a good Seventh-day Adventist meant, you know what, if I dressed a certain way, and if I ate a certain way, and if I worshiped a certain way, and if I did all the rules a certain way, which, don't get me wrong, that is all very, very, very good stuff, but it doesn't make you good. You can do all that and still be damned. The word for good here in this parable is agathos, which means generous. It means kind. It means being nice. It means pleasant. So you keep the Sabbath, but are you nice? Okay, so you dress nicely and modestly. Okay, good, but are you pleasant? You eat right, that's good, but it doesn't matter if you're meaner than a snake. I hate to break it to you, friends. The reality is, I'm not good. You're not good. The Bible says no one is good except for God. So how in the world can we ever become faithful and good? The only way any of us can, friends. You know what? We don't know much about the thief on the cross, but what little we know says a whole lot about our God. Think about it. The thief on the cross spent the majority of his life doing a whole lot of wrong. You do not get crucified, except for in Jesus' case, unless you are a pretty bad dude. They say that punishment for the worst of the worst. This guy spent most of his life doing right. And that's why he says, look, we're receiving the due reward of our deeds, but this man has done nothing wrong. And he turns to his Savior and he says, Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom. And I love this. Jesus turns to him in the final moments of his life and he says, truly I say to you, today, one day you will be with me in paradise. You see, this guy may have spent most of his life doing wrong, but the few moments he had left, he did the one thing that we can do right. You see, because he was faithful over the little he had left, I'm talking minutes, guys, hours, because he did the most important thing, because he was faithful over the little, he gets to hear, well done, good and faithful servant. Friends, there has only really ever been one good and faithful servant, and his name is Jesus Christ. And the only time we can be good and faithful is when he lives in our lives through the conduit of the Holy Spirit. Friends, I don't know how long we have left, but I am going to serve God with everything that I have left. Because I know very soon the Master's coming back. Matthew 25:19 says, look, after a long time, the master of those servants returned. Hallelujah, friends, Jesus is coming back. The master is coming. It's been a long time, but Jesus is coming back. And on that day, I only want to hear one thing. I'm with Billy Graham on this. I just want to hear my Savior say, well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful over a little. I'm going to set you overmuch. Friends, the reality is what you give up for God does not come close to comparing what you gain with him. And then he says this, enter into the joy of your master. Friends, I don't know about you, I'm ready to enter into the joy of my master. I am so tired of this broken, beat up world. I am tired of seeing Christian couples break up. I am tired of the fake smiles and the fake people. I'm tired. I'm sick and tired of being sick and tired. I'm sick of the fighting. I'm sick of the incessant debating. I'm sick of people tearing each other down and forgetting who we are in Christ Jesus. I am ready for the joy of my master. I'm ready for the joy of Jesus. And the good news to everyone of us, regardless, if you have lived like a heathen your whole life, if you would accept Christ as your Savior and Lord today, if you would be faithful with a little, if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and you believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. I tell you today, you will be with me in paradise. Most gracious God, we thank you and we praise you for the awesome God that you are. We thank you for all you have done and all you are doing. Lord, I pray in the mighty name of Jesus, you would speak to each heart here right now. You didn't ask us and tell us how much we should have or that we had to do everything just perfectly. You just want us to be faithful
with a little, to do, to end up with more than what we started with, to do something with the truth you blessed us with, to do something with the lungs and the heart that you blessed us with, to do something with the time that you blessed us with. Lord, help us to be faithful with the little bit of time we have left. And I pray in the mighty name of Jesus, that because of the only true, good, and faithful servant, Jesus Christ, your perfect Son, that each person here may hear those beautiful words, "Well done, good and faithful servant." Amen.